Tape recorded message number TL514. Otis Q. Sellers, Bible Teacher. I greet you in the faith and fellowship of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose we are, whom we love, and whom we serve. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. The 22nd chapter of 1 Chronicles. This chapter gives us the record of David gathering and preparing the material for the temple. David makes the declaration where he says, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel," referring to the altar that he built in verse 26. When the Lord there commanded the angel, the avenging angel, to put his sword again into the sheath. And so this was David's declaration, that this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel. And David commanded to gather together the strangers who were in the land of Israel. These strangers are actually the foreigners. Mostly slaves who had been captured in other wars. And he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails for the doors of the gates and for the joinings, and brass in abundance without weight. Also cedar trees in abundance for the Zidonians. And they of Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. And David said, "Solomon, my son, is young and tender, and the house that is to be builded for the Lord must be exceeding magnifical." Magnificent would be our word today, but this is magnifical. Of fame and glory throughout all countries. I will therefore now make preparation for it. So David prepared abundantly before his death. Then he called Solomon his son and charged him to build an house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was my mind to build a house under the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Thou hast shed blood abundantly, and you have made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house under my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to thee, who shall be a man of rest, a man of peace, that is, and I will give him rest from all his enemies round about. For his name shall be Solomon, and I will give peace and quietness unto Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father. I will establish the throne of his kingdom," and the throne means the seat of government, the place where the government actually is located, "the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever." Again, let me say that that is the Hebrew word olam, O-L-A-M, which means in perpetuity, forever flowing. Now it says, "Now, my son, the Lord be with thee, and prosper thou, and build the house of the Lord thy God, as he has said of thee. Only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding, and give thee charge concerning Israel, that thou mayest keep the law of the Lord thy God. Then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong, be of good courage, dread not, or be dismayed. Now behold, in my trouble," probably meaning a great expense to himself and a great deal of effort, "I have prepared for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, and 1,000 talents of silver, and of brass, and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared, that thou mayest add thereto. Moreover, there are workmen with thee in abundance, hewers and workers of stone and timber, and all manner of cunning men for every manner of work. of the gold, the silver, the brass, and the iron, there is no number. Arise, therefore, and be doing, and the Lord be with thee. Well, David also commanded all the princes of Israel to help Solomon his son, saying, Is not the Lord your God with you? And hath he not given you rest on every side? For he hath given the inhabitants of the land into mine hand, and the land is subdued before the Lord and before his people. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build you the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. You probably have noticed how many times that the temple is called a house, or it was considered to be God's dwelling place. So we read in verse 23, So when David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his king over Israel. Now beginning with the second verse, we have the distribution of the Levites as to their service and what they were to do. And then starting with the seventh verse, we get a record here of the family of the Gershonites. And beginning between 12 and 20, we get the record of all the sons of Kohath that we commonly call the Kohathites. And each one of these were to perform their service in relationship to the God of Israel. In verses 21 to 23, we get the office there of the sons of Merari, the Merarites. And beginning with 24, we read, These were the sons of Levi, after the house of their fathers, even the chief of the fathers, as they were counted by number of names by their poles, that did the work for the service of the house of the Lord, from the age of 20 years and upward. For David said, The Lord God of Israel hath given rest unto his people, that they may dwell in Jerusalem forever. That's just in perpetuity, that they may dwell there in perpetuity. Of course, if they got themselves involved in iniquity, in sin, there was nothing at all that would cause God to maintain their dwelling place. But this is their thought, this is their mind, and while they may not be there physically, but this was to be perpetually. Also on the Levites, they shall no more carry the tabernacle, nor any vessels of it for the service thereof. For by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their office was to wait on the sons of Aaron for the service of the house of the Lord, in the courts, and in the chambers, and in the purifying of all holy things, and the work of the service of the house of God, both for the showbread, for the fine flour, for the meat offering, that was literally the meal offering, and for the unleavened cakes, and for that which is baked in the pan, for that which is fried, for all manner of measure and size, and to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise to repeat this in the evening, and to offer all burnt sacrifices unto the Lord in the Sabbaths. See, Israel had many Sabbaths, not just a Sabbath day, they had many Sabbaths, in the new moons, and on the set feast by numbers, according to the order commanded unto them continually before the Lord, and that they should keep the charge of the tabernacle, the congregation, and the charge of the holy place, and the charge of the sons of Aaron, their brethren, in the service of the house of the Lord. Now, beginning with the 24th verse, we get the record of the priesthood, the sons of Aaron, being divided into 24 courses. You will remember that the father of John the Baptist was of the course of Abia. And reason for this was that there were so many of the priests, if they all tried to serve at the same time, the temple would just have been cluttered up with people, and it could not be done. So they sent the 24 courses, and each man was to serve for the course of 2 weeks. 2 weeks of time he served in the order of his course. And so we get that record, and their names are all mentioned. I'll have to leave that to you to read for yourself. Beginning with the 20th verse, we get the record of how the Kohathites were divided and how the Merarites were divided by lot. Now, this does not seem to be of any importance unto us, but it is very important for the future of Israel. For when the time comes that God is governing the world, and the man Elijah appears to be the restorer of all things in Israel, for that's what he does. The Lord said, Elijah shall indeed come first and restore all things. There are those who will say, well, that was just John the Baptist. Well, John the Baptist didn't restore anything, as far as we can see. And here is the man who is to restore all things. And so he will put them in their place. And this can be done on the basis of this which is recorded. For these men will be raised from the dead, and they will be raised from the dead to perform their service in that glorious temple which is yet to be in the temple of God. In the 26th chapter, we have the record here of what is called the division of the porters. And all that we get in this is the long list of names. These are divine records. And then the records of the gates. The gates were actually courthouses, we might say, to a certain extent. And I don't find anything much of interest there to comment on. But I would like to mention that in the 26th chapter of Chronicles, and the 18th verse, there's an interesting verse. I'll tell you why it's interesting. A woman came to me one time and said, Mr. Sellers, I'm going to quote a Bible verse and I want you to tell me what it means. And she said, at Parbar, westward, 4 at the causeway and 2 at Parbar. I said, did you quote the entire verse? She said, that's every word of it. At Parbar, westward, 4 at the causeway and 2 at Parbar. I said, I don't even remember the passage. But tell me where it is. He said, 1 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 18. So I had my Bible in my hand, I opened it up, and I read it. And you see, the moment you read it, you can understand it. But I would defy anyone to tell me what this means if you take this text out of its context. It simply cannot be done. Now, beginning with the 20th verse, you get the record of the Levites. These Levites were put in charge of all the treasures. We read of this in verse 26, which it speaks of Shelomith and his brethren were over all the treasures, the dedicated things, which David the king, and of the chief fathers, the captains over thousands and hundreds, the captains of the host had dedicated. 27th verse, 26th chapter. Out of the spoils won in battle did they dedicate to maintain the house of the Lord. Even going back to all that Samuel the seer is the prophet, of course, and Saul the son of Kish, and Abner the son of Ner, and Joab the son of Zeruiah, all these things had been dedicated. And whosoever dedicated anything, it was under the hand of Shelomith, and of his brethren. He had the out position under God as the treasurer of all of the possessions of Israel, and his brethren served with him. Then you get the record, beginning with verse 29, of the officers and of the judges who judged in Israel. So you can see that they had these judges at this time, although they served under King Solomon. Now, in the 27th verse, you have a record here of the 12 captains. And, that's the beginning of the 27th chapter. And I do not see anything that I would need to comment on or to bring out in this connection. You can read it for yourself. Then we come to the 16th verse, where we get the princes over the 12 tribes. Now, these princes were actually judges or rulers, And David was the king. Solomon was the king here at this time. Really, we could say that David was the king. Solomon is just appearing on the scene. And these princes were each the heads of the 12 tribes. So then that record goes on, name after name and word after word, till we get to the end of the chapter, which gives us the names of the generals. Now in the 28th verse, we find matter of more importance and of more interest to us. For David assembled all the princes of Israel. Here's the king assembling all the princes of Israel. The princes of the tribes, the captains that ministered, the captains of the companies, I mean to say, that ministered the king by course, captains over the thousands, over the hundreds, the stewards over all the subsupposition of the king and of his sons, with the officers, with the mighty men, and all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. That these men had positions in Israel. They made up the Kahal at that time, and they're all summoned unto Jerusalem, the very seat of government, the throne of the Lord. And David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God. And he had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my fathers to be king over Israel in perpetuity." Notice what David says there. He chose me before all the house of Israel to be king in perpetuity. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler. That's the ruling tribe. And the house of Judah, the house of my father, among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all of Israel and of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons. He hath chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord of Israel. Solomon is to the one that's to govern, to be the prince, pardon, be the king over these princes. So he said unto me, that is, Jehovah Yahweh said unto me, to David, "Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, ever flowing, if he be constant to my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all the congregation of the Lord." You see, these leaders that we read about in the first verse, they make up the congregation. It's what the Old Testament called the Kahal, the New Testament called the Ecclesia. "And in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess the good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever in perpetuity. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch, and of the houses thereof, and of all the treasures thereof, and all the upper chambers thereof, of all the inner parlors thereof, and all the place the mercy seat. These were the blueprints as to how this was to be built. And the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. He had this by the Spirit of God, of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, the treasures of the house of God, all the treasures of dedicated things. Also for the courts of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord, he gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all instruments and all manner of service, silver also for all instruments, silver by weight, and for every kind of service. And in the 19th verse we read, I better get the 18th verse in here, for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And this, said David, the Lord made me to understand in writing by his hand upon me even all the works of this pattern. So there was the blueprints after which this temple was built. David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, and be not dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, see, Jehovah Elohim, Yahweh Elohim, even my God will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing skill for man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. So we might say that Solomon is given a free hand, and yet it's all to be under the direction of what the Lord gave to David for the plans of the tabernacle. Now David is going to speak to the people. He said to all the congregation, it's not exactly the people, but he's going to speak to the people through these, so that as these princes go back, and these captains go back, and these stewards go back, that every one of them can speak to those that were not in Jerusalem and tell them exactly what God said and what God desired. So David said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, silver for things of silver, brass for things of brass, iron for things of iron, onyx stones and stones to be set, glittering stones of different colors, all manner of precious stones, marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of the gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal, the gold for things of gold, the silver for things of silver, for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? These were the men that could do this work. They could do it just to make money for themselves, or they could consecrate this service this day to hallow it unto the Lord. Well, then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, the captains of thousands of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work, they offered willingly. And they gave of themselves, you see, for the service of the house of God, of gold 5,000 talents, 10,000 drams, of silver 10,000 talents, of brass 18,000 talents, 100,000 talents of iron. And them with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. God made the hearts willing. The people got joy out of doing it. And David the king himself rejoiced with great joy at the willingness of the people. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation and said, he said, "Blessed be thou, Yahweh Elohim of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." This is from outflow to outflow. You are the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim of Israel, our Father, ever flowing. It's repeated. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. This is yours, Lord, the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and on the earth is thine. That's why it is that we can't really give anything to the Lord. We can only return to him as he has given unto us. For thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Yours is the government. Yours is the sovereignty. Yours is the right to rule. You know, we say that in the United States that the sovereignty belongs to the people. Not to the president, not to the Congress, not to the Senate, not to the Supreme Court, that the sovereignty, the right to rule, belongs to the people. That's the way it'll have to be until God takes over. As Winston Churchill said, democracy is the worst possible form of government, except for those already tried. And since every other thing had been tried, well, democracy was just the best possible government that man have ever known, where the people rule. But the sovereignty belongs to God. Now, God is not exercising his sovereignty at the present time. God is not ruling. But the time will come when God will take to himself his great power, as is recorded in the book of Revelation, and he will reign. And to reign is to govern. And his is the kingdom. Yours is the kingdom, O Yahweh. And thou art exalted as head above all. The word head, Hebrew word is rosh. It means an outflowing source. You are the outflowing source of all. And this is what David said, and it's what God recorded concerning himself. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. Mashal, you're the ruler of all things, and in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee, and we praise your glorious name. Your character, all that you are, we praise it. Now David says, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and just out of thine own we have given thee. We have done nothing. It came from you, and we've given it back to you. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. He continues, O Lord our God, all the store that we have prepared to build thee in house, for thine holy name, it cometh of your hand. It's all your own. Let me tell you, that is really recognition of what belongs to God. We could learn from this and learn much about it, for these are the things that God has declared concerning himself. We continue. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, that you have pleasure in uprightness. And God does. He has pleasure in uprightness. Really, the word here means you have pleasure in a straight way. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, there it is again, Yahweh Elohim, of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever, keep this perpetually in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee, and give unto Solomon my son a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. Now, that's marvelous words of thanksgiving. Unbelievable words. And yet, this is what David said. I really enjoyed just going over this with you, just to hear these things about our God. Now, David, having spoken to God in prayer and thanksgiving, he said to all the congregation, "Now bless the Lord your God." The word bless here would mean to extol and exalt and to praise Jehovah, Yahweh, your Elohim. And all the congregation blessed Jehovah Elohim of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the King. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord. They offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. On the morrow at that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings, and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon, the son of David, king the second time, and anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor, and Zadok to be the priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and he prospered, and all Israel obeyed him, and all the princes and the mighty men, and all the sons likewise of King David. They submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over Israel. This is going back now to take in his entire reign. And thus it was that David, the son of Jesse, reigned over Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years he reigned in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Something interesting about those figures there, the 33 and the 7 years, but they're there. 33 years was about the length of the Acts period, probably just a little longer than that, but this was the 33 years, and we read that David died in a good old age. He was full of days, of riches and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now, as I've shown you before in the message I brought you on the future of David, this isn't the end of David. He's not in heaven. The Bible tells us plainly David is not ascended into heaven. And David is yet to be the king of Israel when he is raised from the dead. The 12 apostles will be the 12 princes in Israel. They'll sit on 12 thrones. David will be on the throne that God gave to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he puts David upon it. Verse 29, we read, "Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him, and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries." This is the record we have of the reign of King David. And that brings us to an end of the book of Chronicles. And after a few words, I will bring this message to an end, a little bit shorter than usual, but I'm sure that you will understand. I have made two messages on this day. Usually these messages are 42 minutes in length. We take a minute of time to allow the tape to get started and so on, and that helps greatly in the reproduction of these, as they are reproduced at very high speed. And if we start immediately, why, oftentimes the message will drag quite a bit. So we give Mr. Vandenberg, the recorder, a minute, and then we start the message and run for 42 minutes and 43 minutes and a total of 43 minutes, and that just about uses up the tape, allowing a little bit for closing at the end. And I've made two messages so far today. You who heard message number 513 will realize that I've been struggling a bit. It isn't the very best day for me. There's nothing much wrong with me physically. I'll probably be over it in just a day or two. But as it so happens, you know, these things that we call viruses or we call colds or nasal trouble or whatever it might be, they lay hold of us, and it just takes time to get rid of it. And so if my voice has sounded a little strange, and if it's been just a little bit slow, I have just done the very best that I could under the circumstances. And so I would pray for every one of you that your lines may fall in pleasant places. Somebody has asked me to describe just what is meant by that. Well, really, these were the boundary lines. And when they divided the land by lot, if the line of your inheritance fell on good land in pleasant places, indeed that was good, because it might fall on rocky territory or mountainous territory or desert territory, and that would not be so good. So this has to do with the boundary lines, God's boundary lines. And it's my prayer for you that your lines may fall in pleasant places, whatever may be your lot this day. Well, I thank you very much for listening. It has been my joy to teach you. And until we meet again around the pages of God's book, I bid you goodbye.